This week, the Global Peace Index, that's an institution that records the level of peace in the world, and it compiles an annual report on where we are in terms of efforts to have peace on this planet. But this year, 2016, it painted a very somber picture. One line here I'll just describe from the report. It says that the world has become even less peaceful in 2016, continuing a decade-long trend of increased violence and strife. And we know, brethren, that this year has hit us like a ton of bricks in terms of what we see happening on the global scene. It's like every week you hear something different going on in various parts of the world. Again, it's not confined to one area or one continent. It's taking on, you know, from different parts of the globe. We've had to deal with situations with viruses and so on coming at us. Just this morning before I came here, I heard an announcement that warning women who are pregnant to be aware of visiting South Florida. Just South Florida. Because the cases there have been localized now. Once before we were hearing that in Brazil, that's where the Zika has been infecting a lot of people, and it was confined to just countries in Latin America, the Caribbean, and some parts of Central America, and that you have to go there to be bitten by a mosquito to be infected. But now the cases are originating in our backyard, South Florida. So these are some of the issues that we have confronting us now. We have the economic problems of the continents and the countries and the islands still not been fully effective. There are political concerns in Europe now that Britain has pulled out of the EU. We have an election coming in the United States where people are not even sure who to vote for. And history is going to be, and perhaps history is going to be created because perhaps the U.S. will have a first woman president. A first man of the White House. Not a first lady again. So there are things that are creeping up on us. And brethren, we are the church, the body of Christ. What we are seeing is a society being transformed right before our eyes. We see a society crumbling. But here's the question. Are you crumbling with it? That's where we are going today. Are you crumbling with that society? Has it rubbed off on you so much that you can't even recognize the crumbling? According to a recent survey, 71% of people believe, and these are non-Christians, they believe that our planet, this globe, is going to the dogs. That's what the survey says. Going to the dogs. Is this a myth, a trick, a delusion, or a poll error? Have our society deteriorated to that level now where even the unconverted are seeing this crumbling of where we live, where we call this place our home? I believe I share this conviction that it's crumbling, but I won't say it's going to the dogs. Because the crumbling is to our benefit. You realize that? Even though it's crumbling, it's to our benefit. Because we are only passing through. We are just sojourners here. We are just pilgrims. We are just ambassadors. So we can't get caught up into this confusion and this crumbling that's going on. Let it happen. The one who created the universe tells us that it would be heading this way. So for the 71% of people out there, it's big news. No wonder these our headlines in the papers and on TV are filled with these news. But we had it in advance. We knew before. We knew before. But it's a question that many people would prefer not to answer for fear of coming to the ugly realities of this society, this confused society that we live in. But it deserves an answer. Why? It deserves an answer. So today I'm going to look at our society crumbling from two perspectives, the secular point of view, and of course, the biblical point of view. Because we, as Christians, should know the difference. If we do not know the difference of what is going on out there, if we do not know right from wrong, may God have mercy on you. Because you need to rethink who you are. You need to rethink your relationship with God. You need to rethink where exactly you are going. And you need to rethink, why are you coming here? Are you wasting your time? Are you wasting your time? The Creator is sovereign. He's in charge. He knows what He's doing. We shouldn't get caught up in a situation where we portray Him as if He's some, you know, person who doesn't have a clue what's going on in our society. He's sovereign. That's why He's God. He's in charge of this universe. He's the one who has set all these intricate laws to govern from the day it was created. You mess with those laws and you mess with everything. You mess with those laws and you come crumbling down. And that is exactly what is going on today. Because even the churches, even some churches are fooling around with the laws of God.
Amen.
So no wonder they do not even know right from wrong. No wonder they join the bandwagon. The bandwagon of immorality. And having people confused about what is right from wrong. So they are also contributing as well. That is what happens when you mess with God's law. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know you not that you are not on your own? That is talking to us. We are not on our own. For you are bought with a price. And Proverbs 29:2 tells us, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Because those leaders don't know right from wrong. And Psalm 11:3 asks, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Do you believe the foundations that have been set from the beginning are being destroyed, or have been destroyed, or continue to be destroyed? We don't want any more evidence. We don't want any more evidence that is being destroyed. Society cannot function adequately without morality or some standards of right and wrong to govern them. When will our leaders get it? That you cannot set your own morality. That you cannot determine right from wrong. That it is not in your prerogative to tell right from wrong. That it only comes from the Most High God. When will they ever get it? You know what? I don't think they ever will. Because at some point, they are getting the strong delusion and they are believing the lie. It is so clear and obvious. So clear. And because society, if ever will, we are heading for disaster. We are crumbling towards disaster. We are a laden truck filled with explosive going down a precipice. That's what we are. And who have eyes to see, please see. And if you have ears to hear, please hear. Because we can't say we have not been warned. The psalmist is asking if the foundation that government, human existence are destroyed, what should the righteous do? Do we draw closer to the omniscient one, or do we draw farther away from him? Do we become more faithful, or we become more faithless? Do we go along with the flow for the sake of modern times and for the sake of compromising and for the sake of political correctness, or we strengthen our resolve in abiding by the foundational principles established by the only true and living God? Amen. Because there is only one. Amen. Only one. I read 3 weeks ago, I was on the subway and I saw this headline in one of our metro papers. And it says, I quote, "The world is crazy right now. It is complete chaos." That's a headline from a secular paper, not from the church, not from the pulpit. So apparently, in some quarters, they're getting the message. The world is crazy right now. It is complete chaos. Brethren, when citizens begin to shoot the people who should be keeping them safe and out of harm's way, when they walk into a mall, school, or theater and open fire randomly at other human beings, having no regard for the sanctity of life, and then at the end you hear it's mental illness, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Every act nowadays, if you doubt me, listen to your radio and you monitor your media, your other sections of the media. Almost every act nowadays is mental illness. Pardon me? Well, we have a whole world of mad people then. Exactly. The nations are mad. When people no longer express outrage at these atrocities, but find the lamest excuses, and they seem comfortable and even show support in some instances, these are warning signs of a lawless society being treated as the norm. As the norm. When a major newspaper's editorial board, when a major newspaper's editorial board can blame the shooting at a Florida gay nightclub on Christians because they support gay marriage, something is wrong. Something is wrong. That's the level is gone now. When women, and I pluralize it, not woman, when a woman. When women, because it keeps going on, it keeps happening. When women give birth to babies and dumps them in garbage, oh boy, how much worse can it get? How much worse can it get? Or a 9-month-old mother-to-be about to be delivered and she's murdered. I'm not cooking up these stories in a burden. They have happened. And they are happening. This one was just like 6 weeks ago. And in another case, a pregnant woman is tasered. These are happening. These are signs that our society is crumbling. When a group of Muslims blow up a train, a plane, or airport, and you refuse to acknowledge that that particular religion has a problem, God have mercy on you of what lies ahead. We need to open our eyes. You are becoming apologetics for them. And society no longer has the ability to distinguish between good and evil. When a society cannot distinguish between pure love, and perverted love, the family, the foundation of our society, has to crumble. It has to, because it's not based on God's laws. When a U.S. Army veteran can be removed from a retirement ceremony because in his speech he refers to God, you know how far we have gone. You know how far we have gone. Cannot call God. You cannot call the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You call another God, you'll get away with it. But once you touch a true and living God, it's problems. When scientists have started to look at ways on how to get men pregnant. Wow. Because that is going on. How can we get men pregnant? That is going on. We are at the precipice of disaster and calamity. I fear, and I know we are not supposed to be a people of fear, but when I say fear, I'm just so wary about our children who are coming up, the young children. I have a granddaughter there. The world that they're coming into if King Jesus does not return soon. When a huge country like Russia can pass a law that evangelism can only be done inside the church, and you don't dare go outside and do it. You see where this is going. When society calls what we once regarded as evil good, and now the good becomes evil, yes, prophecy is surely being fulfilled. When some members of our society flaunt their sins openly and without shame, there's no reverence anymore for God. That is why when we come here on a Saturday, we must show reverence. We are coming from out there and we are coming in here. We must show reverence when we approach the throne of grace. When society wants to play God and to alter the course of nature and put humans beyond the dominion of the earth, make artificial births and so on, we are begging for trouble. And when they continuously deny his existence and embrace the false, brethren, it's gone really bad. A very popular commentator, Michael Snyder, and some of you might have heard of him, he says, "It is not just our economy that is crumbling. Something is happening to us that no amount of money will be able to fix. Everything around us, we can see evidence of the social decay that is systematically eating away at the foundations of our society. It can be found on the streets of our inner cities, in dark basements, in extremely rural communities, in the most prestigious boardrooms on Wall Street, and definitely in the halls of power in Washington, bringing in an entirely different crop of politicians or printing gigantic mountains of money is not going to solve this problem, because it exists in the hearts of millions of ordinary men and women. Salon Magazine, these are huge entities of influence. Salon Magazine says, America has the most billionaires in the world, but not a single U.S. city ranks among the world's most livable cities. Imagine that. Not a single U.S. airport is among the top 100 airports in the world. Our bridges, road, and rail are falling apart. That's the physical crumbling. And our middle class is being guttered out thanks to 3 decades of stagnant wages, while the top 1% enjoys 95% of all economic gains. In an recent interview, a researcher who researches in trends on the global scene, Gerald Silente, he said, society is breaking down on every level. Socially, economically, politically.
Not just the
U.S., it's worldwide. Brethren, we in the church, we need to know what's going on around us. We can't allow what's going on to overshadow you and to have your society, your priorities mix up. And I'm going to pause here to make an observation. I was walking Wednesday evening. I went for a walk and I was going back home. And I saw this middle-aged man walking up the street. And he had something in his hand like this. And I watched him. And I fear at one point that he was going straight into the light post, because he was so absorbed with what he was doing. I said, wow, this must be the pocket monster. The Pokemon. We laugh, but it's something very serious. Brethren, I would hope, let me repeat with emphasis, I would hope that it doesn't reach in here on any given Sabbath, because it doesn't belong here. We have 6 hours when we come here to worship and to fellowship before God. There's a time for everything. If you want food on Pokemon during the week and mess with your whatever, fine. But please, don't bring it here. Parents, adults, children. And parents, you have a responsibility to see what your children are bringing in here. And it's not only Pokemon, there are some other dangerous games too. It is your responsibility. And we played it. I just heard one report yesterday morning from an emergency physician at Hamilton Hospital saying the number of injuries they have had because of Pokemon. Children are just going haywire with injuries. You tell me what is good about that. You tell me what is good or what is inherently profitable to have this pocket monster going around with, because you're keeping up a trend in the world. Listen this. The game, and this is not my words, it's from a researcher, a scholar. I ain't no scholar. The game is, in a way, a religion, specifically Japanese animism. They represent the gods of nature, and therefore you find them in the great outdoors. That's why people are all over the place. I hear a man walk off a cliff. If you feed the Pokemon and offer them incense, they become your allies, giving you points and items you can use in the game. If you ignore them, they can turn vindictive. Run away and resist capture. And so you run after them to capture them. Pokemon even have names that sound like they are demonic.
Yes.
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 Some of them I won't even call here. But one of them you're familiar with. Bulbasaur. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. I see a young man laughing away, so he might be familiar with the name. But you take it lightly and you don't know what that name means, and you play around it, brethren. Serious matters. Serious consequences. So they have a whole list of names here that they use that have all been linked with demonism. And these are quite similar to the gods of Japanese mythology. It's a kind of techno-animism, says Ann Allison, scholar of contemporary Japan. Approximately 10% of all Android smartphone users have downloaded Pokemon Go. Forbes magazine reports that 46% of U.S. players, and normally the figures in Canada are similar, of U.S. players are between the ages of 18 and 29. 45% of them make over $50,000 a year. You see, it's big people too. And 63% are female. But it is more than that. Pokemon Go is preparing users to communicate with devils. In the 90s, Pokemon was a popular handheld game with the object of catching and training anime monsters with occult powers to fight against other trainees and their Pokemon. A whole generation of children raised on Pokemon and Harry Potter can now revisit occult-themed entertainment as adults in the new world of augmented reality, AR. Brethren, I'm warning you again. Listen. Children, parents, adults, please do not enter our doors with that. And see to it that your children don't walk with it here or even in your home. It's serious matters. And sometimes we see these problems in society, which we think are physical problems, they are deep spiritual problems. I always draw and take note of some societal drift. When I see the world groping off something, a lot of people groping off something, and it has nothing to do with God, the hair in my head, I don't have a lot of hair, but it just go up like this. Be aware. Be aware. Because there's some serious things going on out there that we need to take note of. Serious things. Last week, the U.S. federal government announced plans to lift a moratorium on funding of controversial experiments that use human stem cells to create animal embryos that are partly human. How many people did hear of this? Nobody. You see, the distractions out there, we're so taken up in different things. You don't hear these things. The National Institute of Health is proposing a new policy to permit scientists to get federal money to make embryos known as chimeras under certain carefully monitored conditions. One issue is that scientists might inadvertently create animals that have partly human brains. You know where this is heading? Remember, animals do not have intellect. Humans do. You see where this is heading? Endowing them with some semblance of human consciousness. consciousness or human thinking abilities. Oh. Another is that they could develop into animals with human sperm and eggs and breed, producing human embryos or fetuses inside animals or hybrid creatures. All I can say is, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. We are truly crumbling a society because humanity is going where it ought not to go. Humanity is playing God. You know, sometimes we put the blame on politicians or the bankers or the scientists or the researchers. But the truth is, many of us ordinary folks, and I don't mean in here, are as corrupt as they are. Because we, you know what? We go along with it. And when these gadgets come out, we are some of the first to get it. And we don't need it. We can do without it. I keep telling people, if a cell phone company was waiting on me to profit, they would die a long time. I'm not saying it's not important. But if they were waiting on me, single-handedly as an individual, they would file for bankruptcy. There are some things that we need in life, for sure. But there are others that we can do without. We have not been called to be caught up in every little whims and fancies of society because we want to be up there. Because this new, you know, I can't keep up with these type phone that they have nowadays. Whether it's Android or smartphone or, you know, they have the smartphone now. I'm wondering what the next one will be. Because you have a smart what? Smarter phone? Maybe. Because I see a company last night, or no, not last night, earlier this week, advertising a new TV. What they call this one now is not high definition anymore, you know. It's ultra. You just put another word before it. Ultra. Somebody help me now, you don't know? Huh? It would be. And so by next year again, by December when the shopping wave starts, everybody, you're going to Best Buy, you're going to Walmart, everybody loading up their trolley with these new things. CD at home that is still the old, you know, the big protruding back. I have it in my basement, I still watch it. And it still show me the picture that I want to watch. I couldn't care whether it's high density or it's crisp or what, as long as I can watch it. That is my attitude. I'm not saying you should do it, you know, mind you, please don't misinterpret me. But sometimes we have to be very discriminating in how we live our lives because we should be ambassadors of the Most High God. We should be the light to the world. We should be the salt of the earth. We have to live up to that. We have to live up to that. So now I deal with the secular. I want to turn to the biblical as time is kind of going by. Isaiah 1:4 tells us clearly that sin is rampant in our society. Period. There's no debate on that. John tells us in the New Testament that the whole world lies in righteousness? No. Wickedness. So, the Bible is clear on what is out there. Isaiah 1:4 says, "Woe, sinful nation." Watch out, sinful nation. People weighed down with lawlessness or iniquity. People there, it just burned them down. Because you break God's law, you come under the penalty of the law. We're not under the law. Some people think that because you're not under the law, then you don't keep it. We don't come under the death penalty of the law. But when you break it, you sin. But our sin is taken care of by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But our society is weighed down by lawlessness. Offspring of evildoers. Sons that act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from Him. Where will you be stricken again? As you continue in your rebellion, the whole head is sick. And that is the problem. The whole head is sick. And once the whole head is sick, the whole body is sick. So society is sick. Everything. We have to be that difference. We have to be that person or persons or organization that stand out and people can say, ah, that's a little lighthouse on the hill shining in the darkness. But when you reach a level where society cannot tell whether you're among the darkness or you're light, then we have a problem. So this passage declares the depravity of human nature. While sins remain unrepented, nothing is done towards healing the wounds. We have drug addicts around and we give them drugs to get rid of the drugs. How can that make sense? You see a big fire out there, go put fire to out the fire.
Yeah.
You see, these things don't add up. And then we have all these experts out and the so and so for this and that. Oh, it has worked and studies have shown. Pardon me. We don't see the effects yet. We don't really see the real effects yet. We are in reverse. Basically, that's what we are. All these point to a society in reverse. Because they're confused, they don't know what to do. But God's wrath comes even in this age before the big countdown. It comes in the diseases and the natural disasters and the plagues and the addictions that we have and other calamities and so on. Isaiah 1:13. Some worship in vain because it's difficult, brethren, to distinguish between the righteous and the unrighteous. That's what's going on now. Some who claim to be followers of God, you say, wow, that's a church doing that? So God says, don't continue bringing me worthless sacrifices. Please, don't. I hate the incense you burn. I can't stand your new moons or your Sabbaths or your other feast days. You know, it doesn't mean you don't keep them enough. Some people say, ah, you see, you shouldn't keep. No, that's, please. The fact is that you should be doing them, but it's the way you're doing them. I can't stand the evil you do in your holy meetings. I hate your feasts and your yearly feasts. They have become a heavy weight for me. A heavy weight for me. And I am tired of carrying it. So God always carries our burdens, right? He says, come, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you the rest. Lay it on me. Throw it on me. That's what God says to us, you know. But listen to this. He says, I'm tired of carrying it. It's really gone bad when God has to say that. It's really gone bad. When you raise your arms to me in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. I will refuse to look at you. Because you worship me as a God of convenience. You only call on me when you want me. You use me like a little prostitute. Only when I want you, I come to you. And I sweeten up your mouth and go on as if God doesn't know anything. We are so, you know, human beings, we are so imperfect. Even if you say many prayers, I will not listen to you because your hands are full of blood. your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. That's the advice. If any of us who have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in them, if we should ever go down this road, the warning is and the admonition is, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean before the Almighty God. Stop doing the evil things I see you do. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Punish those who hurt others. Help the orphans. Stand up for the rights of widows. When last have you called a widow? It's part of our Christian duty. You realize that? It's part of our Christian obligation. And the orphans too. Don't ever forget that. Remember, we are the light that should be shining. Jeremiah 2:13. They turn to other gods for help in times of trouble because they are so politically correct, brethren. They fail to call on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They prefer to turn to a stone or some god of ancient mythology. Young people, listen. No playing in church. My eyes will catch you. In Judges 10:13, he tells Israel, "Yet you have forsaken me, and you have served other gods. Therefore, I will no longer deliver you." Brethren, the same applies today because God never changes. Same applies today. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountains of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And the prophet laments and he wails, Jeremiah, in a time when Israel was under compulsion to do evil. Chapter 17, verse 13. You can see the lament there. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Amen. Those who turn away on earth will be written down because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord. And brethren, economically, we are going to feel it. Politically, already we see the fallout happening in the U.S., because if I were a voter in the U.S., I would be so confused. I wouldn't know who to vote for. When it reaches that level, brethren, you know it's bad. Because you see corruption on this side, and you see corruption on that side. So you know what's going to happen? Some people are just going to stay home. And then you get a president, well, you can't say you get a president where you want, because the choice is which is the lesser of, which is the worst of the two. And I believe it's prophetic. Coming to some scripture to show you some things. The just and the unjust alike, they're alike because God, you know, He sends the rain on both of them. So we have to survive in this kind of quagmire here. But He warns, for behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. The supply of bread and the supply of water. That is food. The biblical signs of a crumbling society is all around. Let me pause. Do you realize how many young leaders we have? You know, have you noticed a trend nowadays where many countries are electing young leaders? We have one right in Canada. Don't even look far ashore. We have one right in Canada. Growing up as a boy with interest in politics and current affairs and all of that, those leaders I remember were old men, something they can barely walk. Your memory short. I remember that. And they have gray hair and jowls around here, and some of them can barely talk. There's no virility in the voice. It's like feeble. But nowadays we have bouncing, young, energetic guys. Some of them can box and so on. Watch it. It's not just happenstance. I believe as Christians, everything we see happening around us, we have to be alert. Okay. Listen to this. Isaiah 3:4. I will make mere lads their princes. I will make young people their leaders. Translated in our modern day world. And he was addressing Israel. Why? Because of Israel's transgressions. Because of their drift away from him. And prophecies usually have a duality about them. They happen and we don't learn from the mistakes of the past and we come and we repeat it today. So he's promised them, I will make young men your leaders. And capricious children will rule over them. Have you noticed again how many female leaders we have in our society today? And I'm not attacking women here. The truth is we have female leaders in our society in much greater numbers than in the past. We have women occupying very, very high positions other than in politics, in economics, banking, whatever. It's there. It's a reality. I'm not saying this. It's not from me. I'm not sexist. Far from that. I wish women well. I want to see them prosper. And I believe in some instances they can do a better job than men. There's just some jobs that men do better than women. Now you only have to look at 9/11 to see those men going up into those, you know, steel and so on to look, you know, it's better suited for a man. Let's be honest. But, listen. What Isaiah says. Verse 11, chapter 3. Woe to the wicked. It will go badly with him. For what he deserves will be done to him. My people, their oppressors, are children. We have special laws now to deal with youth crime. You know what that means? Because young people are committing crimes in greater proportions too. Politicians don't want to touch or say too much about that because the younger vote, they lose it. But there's youth crime. That's why you have a whole juvenile delinquency act or whatever you call it. That happens. Why? Because children have become oppressive when it comes to crime. And hear this next one. And women will rule over them. The Prime Minister of Great Britain last month was a... So we see all these things going on. But you know, we come and we eat breakfast and we dinner and we watch TV and we, you know, whatever. But you know, the world is going on and these things are happening for a reason. Because everything points and lead is pointing towards a greater good. But before that good comes, there is calamity which is going to come up on the human race. We see it's crumbling now. And anything that crumbles, guess what? It's just going to fall. Flat out. And it won't rise again. Oh my people, those who guide you lead you astray and they confuse the direction of our paths. Wow. Isaiah 3:5. Our seniors, they are no longer respected even by our own rulers. Because you listen to the woes of those who are retired and who are on pension and you hear some of them with tears coming into your eyes. Because after they've worked tirelessly for many years and should be living now in comfort, they can't even afford what they should be able to afford. No respect is there. people will oppress each other. Man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will rise up against the old. Brethren, these are harsh realities, you know. The old, the seniors, the nobody against the honored. Why are these things in the Bible? You tell me. They're there for a reason. They're there for us to learn and to open our eyes in these perilous times, these precarious times that we live in. Isaiah 3:9 talks about those who sin openly and have no shame. No shame. The look on their faces testifies against them. They parade their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them. They have brought disaster upon themselves. Isaiah 3:16. Brethren, immorality is the order of the day. What passes for passion, for fashion rather, and style today? Oh, I think we need better words for those. The Lord says, the women of Zion are haughty. They walk along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, strutting along with swaying hips. This is the Bible, you know. You think it's, I didn't write it. This is in the Word of God. Because some women I know, they put on extra to get extra hip. Right? You think I don't know? Not because... It's from observation and it's from reading, don't get me wrong. But this is the Bible. Strutting along with swaying hips, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. This is the Bible. And it talks about this time that is upon us. Isaiah 3:18. In that day, the Lord will snatch away their finery. You know, all those jewelry and so on. The bangles and the headbands and the crescent necklaces. Yeah, they usually wear it in the past. And they're still wearing it today in more sophisticated terms. Our ways. Brethren, we cannot ignore these signs of a crumbling society. Isaiah 5:24. Therefore, as a tongue of fire consumes stubble and dry grass collapses in the flame, so their root will become like rot and their blossom will blow away as dust. For why? Because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The pastors. They're another category. The pastors who teach what's not in the scriptures. The pastors who have joined the political correct bandwagon. The pastors who have refused to teach the truth of the Bible. The pastors who merchandise the word of God. These are signs of a crumbling society. There are many false teachers out there. Jesus Christ says it in Matthew 24. It's among the first set of signs to be listed of the end times. Jeremiah 56. My people have become lost sheep. Why? Oh, their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from the mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. People have a responsibility too, because some of them only want to hear nice words. Amen. Preach it, pastor, as long as it doesn't cut me up and make me feel guilty. They only want to hear nice words, and when you come with the truth of God, oh, I'm offended. The truth shall offend. Amen. The truth shall offend. Amen. So if we're not speaking truth, you won't be offended, right? Amen. Maybe some of you are going to come to me at the end of the sermon. Oh, I'm offended. We have to grow up. Amen. As children of the Most High God. Amen. And the word of God will gonna cut your heart. When it cut your heart, just place it back and move on. That's what we have to do in these terrible times that we are living in. We have to be strong in the Lord. Exactly, the power of His might, yes. And realize that we serve an awesome God. We don't serve an handicapped God. We serve an awesome, omnipotent God. We can't stand up to protect our traditions because we don't want to tell him, we don't want to hurt somebody.
So we have to protect
what the traditions are. Pardon me? Ezekiel 13:3 says, "Thus saith the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." Chapter 34, verse 2, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus saith the Lord, woe shepherd of Israel who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherd feed the flock?" When Peter came to the Master Christ and he tells him three times to feed my sheep, you think that feeding is for a feel good message? You know, something that let me feel good. I feel it in here. Yes, I can go home now and go back to my sinful life. No, it must prick you and you must walk out of here feeling guilty, brethren. Because if you do not feel guilty, the Holy Spirit might not be there to convict you. But you know, sometimes we have some blame too, because you know we allow society to set moral standards. We allow society to set moral standards rather than upholding the standards of the Bible. Some of us can't distinguish between serving God and mammon. We have our priorities mixed up. God, take back seat. You know, I have to do this first. God, you understand. And God doesn't understand all the time because he's not confused. He knows, and he sets priorities, and he knows what his child should be doing. And as I say from this pulpit, I'm going to say it again today, brethren, anything you put before God is a sin of idolatry. God must come first in all your plans, whatever you're doing. He is number one. We have allowed materialism to define our sanctity or that holiness that we should have with God. Sometimes we allow it to slip into our lives, and so we get confused. And so God turns a blind ear or eye to our prayers. We have allowed Satan, the devil, to steal our children. And this Pokemon business, I'm pleading again. I'm pleading about this Pokemon nonsense. It's just total garbage. Absolute rubbish for a child of God. We have given too much praise and adoration to the created. Not the creator. The created. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We put darkness for light and light for darkness. We put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And as I wind down, I can't go into all of this, what I have here about the perilous times in your spare time. I want you, as your homework, go to 2 Timothy 2 and 3 and you read all of those signs of a crumbling society. And you, later on I'll come back with a sermon on this, just this one alone. But you go through every one of these and you meditate on them and you look in yours, you look what's going on out there. You see if they can match up to what the Bible says here about men being lovers of themselves and lovers of money, blah, blah, blah. I can't go through all of this today. But God talks about his anger being kindled when he sees the wicked ways of men. Deuteronomy 31:7, he says, my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So they will say in that day, are not these evil come upon us because our God is not among us? Yeah. And I will surely hide my face in the day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they turned unto other gods. You see, come right back to idolatry again. They turned unto other gods. In Deuteronomy 1:41, then you answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord commanded us. That's what Israel said. Who is willing to fight today for the God of the Bible? Are we willing to stand up and to defend His word? Because, remember, the fifth seal of Revelation is all about the martyrdom to come. And don't believe it's not coming. You look and you see what's going on up there. That is what it's shaping up to be. In Psalm 81:11, David writes, my people would not listen to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust. Is that what is going on in our society now? We don't know. They walked in their own councils. Yes, because we have all these universities and these bright minds to tell us what we need. Who needs God? Oh, that my people would listen unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Wow. Wow. 1 Corinthians 13:2, we are told, now that we see these things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Right? So it's kind of dusty now, but we are going to see it one day. So chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2 verse 9 tells us, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God who has prepared for those who loved Him. So as our society crumbles, this is the light we look to. That God is going to get a greater good for us from all of this. And 2 Peter reaffirms chapter 3 verse 9 that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I have told you these things before, John 16:33, that you may have peace. That you will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. And we know Satan the devil, brethren, he's around like a roaring lion. And he's creating havoc, and he's creating a lot of problems. But as you go out for another week, I know for many of us, we come back here on the Sabbath feeling, you know, you feel like you're battered for the whole week. So you come here for solace, for rejuvenation, for re-energizing. And that is good. This is where God wants you. This is where He wants you. And I'm going to close with Job. You know how much Job went through. Yeah. None of us here in our lifetime will ever go through that. What Job went through. And Job says, God will never abandon the faithful or give help to evil people. He said, no. In Psalm 30 it says, His anger lasts only for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoice comes in the morning. So brethren, society is crumbling. At the beginning I asked whether you're crumbling with it. I'm going to say now, I hope you're not crumbling with it.